To all the officials of this house, divine purpose, we certainly greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're grateful to be here. Amen. And to my cousin Xavier, and I thank God for him for inviting me. I know I talked to Brother Al some about 2 years ago, and Brother Al was talking about me coming. And so, amen, the time is now. And so we thank God, amen, for being here this morning. I thank you, Pastor Sutton. Such a great man, an honorable man. And can we thank God for the angel of this house? It's the Bible says, get honor where honor is due, right? Now, I've been trained that when somebody say that we truly acknowledge the man of God, amen, by standing on our feet and applauding him, because you don't understand or her the labor that they have put out on your behalf. And so we certainly thank God for you, sir. Minister Carolyn, good to see you again, as always. I'd see you in a minute, but it's good to see you. Amen, and I thank God for you. Brother Tim, good to see you, man. Hallelujah. Well, I know a lot of faces in the place, and I'm glad to be here. Man, I think the last time I was here, outside of when Donette came, Minister Donna came, I sat right back and kind of got a feel for things and just here to support. But the last time I here, I think this was a restaurant, if I ain't mistaken. And the time before then, it was a club. I'm talking about when I used to come. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm just saying what I'm saying. But I'm back again. And it is the house of the Lord. So I'm grateful to be here, amen, on this lovely day that the Lord has made. I really don't have but one way, and that's up. Hallelujah. I don't have a low gear or a high gear or a medium gear. Just whenever it hit me, I go with the flow. I ain't been trained by nobody but God. So, I mean, I ain't going to disrespect the kingdom, but you understand what I'm saying. I might start off hot and just end kind of rolling down the hill. Glory be to God. So if you wait to the end, you might just miss it. If you're that kind of person to when you think at the end he going to get excited and something going to happen. It just happened. Glory be to God. So I thank God for my lovely wife. And as she said, I thank her for the introduction, for my daughter being here, and my brother. And I just thank God for you all being here this morning. Amen. We don't have service. We had service, but we don't have service, if you know what I mean. So, but it's good to be here. Our services, I go to the church, me and the praise team and whatnot, we do our thing. And so, we're glad to be here. This is my second time being out in public since this pandemic, speaking. And so ain't no telling what loud to happen. I mean that for real. Y'all think I'll be kidding, but I'm serious. Bless God, but I'm honored to be here and I thank God for this moment. Well, without any further delay, I want to draw your attention to the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And I think the verses should be on the screen, verse 4. They have the King James Version. I'm gonna read a couple of versions just for translation, excuse me. But in Proverbs chapter 6, really, the reading is from verse 1 through 14. I just pulled out this verse for reading purposes and preaching purposes only. But I pray that you would go back and read the scripture so the Lord can speak to you how he need to in reference to the scripture. But for preaching's sake, I want to grab verse 4 out of Proverbs chapter 6. And this is what it says. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. This is what it says out of the New Living Translation. Don't put it off. Do it now. All right. Don't rest until it's done. All right. I want to use for thought this morning. Seize the moment. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, seize the moment. Let me kind of just do some stuff before I get to where I need to get to. We're embarking. This is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And so We understand the season of Advent is a time kind of set aside for the church in some capacity, just depending on what belief and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, it's still a time that is set aside for the children of God, recognize and honor what God has done by way of sending his son, Jesus. And it is a time for the church to be in a position of hope, of peace, of joy, of restoration, just because of what God has done through his son, Jesus, by sending Jesus. Hallelujah. We can stand today with victory.
That's right,
by him sending Jesus, we can stand and sing, "Ain't no way that I can lose."
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I just wanted to kind of make mention of that on this morning, but I'm going to do my best to try to do what Lord has put in my spirit to do on this morning.
There you go, God.
Glory be to God. There are, from this day to the end of the year, there are 32 days left in this year. And like most people, I myself have some different, especially being a pastor, I have some things that I'm planning for 2021. Especially when you consider this year that we've been in. As I look out into the congregation this morning and we can see the chairs are separated, everyone have masks on and things of that like. It is a year that we have never experience. I'm some 50 plus years old now, and I've never experienced anything like I am experiencing now.
Amen.
Right? So we're in a crazy kind of time, right? And understand me when I say that. It does not mean that God is still not moving.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But most of us have concluded that this year is basically over with. And we're kind of, you know, hanging our hat on next year. When next year comes, that's when I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z, right?
Uh-huh.
And most people have already declared that I'm kind of just gonna sort of take it easy, if you will, the rest of this year. And you gotta get this. You do not need, hallelujah, a date to respond to your circumstances.
That's right.
Okay, let me see if I can say it another way. Most people at the beginning of the year say, "I'm going to do this. This is when I'm going to make my resolution." In other words, this is going to be my year. Well, can I tell you something? If you don't do anything with the rest of these 32 days, glory be to God, you're going to be further back, hallelujah, than where you would have been had you seized the moment. I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me this morning, because whenever you don't seize the moment, we move into a state or a place of procrastination. Can I tell you, procrastination means, it means delay. It does not mean denied, but it means that I have been delayed. And I need you to hear me this morning, because a lot of people have delayed their now blessing because of procrastination. Hallelujah. Because I fail to seize the moment, I fail to get the blessing that God promised me now. Glory be to my God. I need y'all to pray on with me a little bit. Look at somebody one more time and tell them, seize the moment. Hallelujah. Seize the moment. And here it is. I just got a few things and then I'm going to get out of the way. If you're going to seize the moment, the first thing that I believe you have to do is take responsibility. Yeah, God. Don't nobody want to be responsible for what happens in their life. We always want to do the Adam and Eve thing. We want to blame somebody else for why I'm going through, why I'm in, why this happened, and why. There's a time where we've got to take responsibility. I promise you it'll get better in the end. And I know we don't like to hear that, because you don't know what they did to me. Hallelujah. You don't know what they said about me. Hallelujah. I would do this, but you don't know what they did. But I do know that there's something that you can still take responsibility for. Yeah, God. Take responsibility is the first step. In other words, what I'm saying is you can't keep me making excuses. God, how long you gonna keep having pity parties? Yeah, God. You can tell folk that are not taking responsibility because they're always looking for someone to validate them being the way they are. Hallelujah. But if you ever run into somebody that really loves you and really care about you, they'll tell you there's still some things you can do. Yeah, God, you gotta take responsibility. What do we do with this day that we have is up to us? You know, we sing the song that this is the day that the Lord has made. Okay, the song say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Watch this. That means then that I have to take responsibility for my praise.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I know that there are things that try to happen to smother out our praise. Why? Because our praise is a sign to God that, God, I believe you in spite of what I'm going through. Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Take responsibility for your day. Hallelujah. This is your day. You just got to take responsibility for it. Here's what Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says. It says, pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Don't nobody want to hear that now. Hallelujah. But the truth is, if you'll take responsibility, you'll give God something to work with. Hallelujah. Seize the moment. Hallelujah. I know that many of us have circumstances that may be difficult and we're in some hard times and some things have happened that we did not expect to happen. And some of us, we find ourselves in a place where we never imagined us being. But can I tell you something this morning? God still expects for you to master your situation.
Yes, he does.
I think you missed it. And here's why. Because here's what the scripture says. God said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. He said, now watch what God says. He said, if you can't bear it, I'll make a way of escape. Right? But if the thing, hallelujah, is still in your life, then God expects you to master it. Hallelujah. Because the thing is not there to destroy you. It's there to build you. But if you don't take responsibility, then the thing can be a detriment to you instead of a blessing to you. Come here, Paul. Paul said, hallelujah, God removed this thing out of my life. And God said, I'm not going to remove it. I want you to master it. Why? Because if you learn how to master it, you'll learn how to connect with me. Hallelujah. If God remove certain things out of our life, we lose our connectability with God. Yeah, God. If God removes certain things out of our life, we lose our connectability to God. It's because the thing is in our life, it keeps us going before God. The Bible says that Paul went before God three times. How many times have you prayed that God would remove something? Now hear me, come here. I need you to hear me because the scripture says if I ask, he'll answer. Let me talk to you. If I knock, the door be open. If I seek, I'll find. That's what it's saying. Well, if God ain't moving, did he not hear me? Okay. And his ear is not deaf when he cannot hear me. So if God hadn't removed it, guess what he want to do? Use it. Showtime. Hallelujah. You ought to get happy right there. That's what Paul did. Paul said, oh God, this is what you're doing? Oh, now that I know that this is what you're doing, now Paul said, but now I glory in my tribulation. Hallelujah. That the job God may be revealed. See, you got to understand that when you learn how to take responsibility for what you're going through, it is the moment, hallelujah, that you connect with God. And that's the problem. A lot of people have lost their connectability with God because they're going through stuff that they ask God to remove and they think God don't hear them. Uh-huh. And God say, I hear you. And the fact that I hear you, I'm going to let you stay in it. Why? Because I ain't putting no more on you. Hallelujah. That you can bear. So when I say take responsibility, here's what I mean. You must choose to think of how to win instead of reasons to lose.
All right, I like that.
Anybody can tell you why they can't do it. Well, Pastor, we would do it, but we ain't got no money. Pastor, we would come, but you just don't understand this what's going on. You know how we do. We would do it, but. But is a conjunction. It connects what I'm about to say with what I just said. In a lot of cases, it disqualifies what I just said. God is good, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I just disqualify the goodness of God. Here's what the scripture says. The Bible says, if, that's another conjunction word, if my people would do this, then this is what would happen. But the people of God are not doing that, so that's not happening. So now we're looking at the presidential system or the government system to do for, hallelujah, to do for us what only we're supposed to be doing.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to tell you, I don't know when I'm going to go. I'm working. You got to understand. Watch this. The easy thing to do is to look at what's wrong. You don't have to. People will give you that advice for free. If it was me, you know how they do. Girl, let me tell you. I ain't putting no that food. If it ain't you. Y'all don't hear me. Watch this. You gotta take responsibility.
Yeah.
What God did when he sent Jesus is he removed the excuses.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? There are no more excuses. Why? Because now the thing that you hope for is now in you. The Bible says that Christ is in you. That is now the hope of glory. The thing that we're hoping for is already in us. We want to see change. But the change that we want to see is in us. The Bible says once he come upon you, then you'll be a witness of me. Here's the problem. We want things to change while we remain the same. And God, you got to take responsibility. When I start taking responsibility for my praise, guess what? It don't matter what you do. It don't matter if they don't stand, if the choir don't sing. When I came in with a jumping noise in my heart, and I came in. Ready to give God glory. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I appreciate about the old church. Hallelujah. The old church, you say, when I think of the goodness, hallelujah, of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just be sitting there. Hallelujah. And something hit me. Hallelujah. And say, God has been good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Watch this. Not when you come out, while you in it. Shut. Not when you come out, while you in it. Ooh, God. Hold on. Ooh, good God about it. Good God about it. My second thing. I got a few things I want to give you. Hallelujah. Listen, the second thing is you got to name your day.
Come on, preacher.
You praying in the morning, Lord, help me through this day. And, you know, you praying and you're doing what you should be doing, and that's good, right? But then you got to name it. You got to say, this is going to be a day of victory.
Hallelujah.
This is going to be a day of peace. Somebody need to say that right now, all the stuff you're going through. Hallelujah. You need to be able to step out. I'm telling you how you got to name it. You got to be able to step out in the middle of a storm and look at it like Jesus did and say, peace be still. Watch this. He called it what it was. He called the storm peace. He said, peace be still. Because sometimes you can have peace, but it can be disturbed by what you're going through. It don't mean that you still don't have it. The Bible says the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Folk won't understand how you can stand in the midst of a storm and still say peace. got to name it. You got to shut up. You got to name it. I'm a word preacher, so I like examples through the word of God. Here's what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. This is what it said. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh.
That's right.
He missed it. He stepped out and he said, my God, let me name this Jehovah Jireh. And from that moment on, here we are now, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Why? Because somebody stepped out and named it. God, I don't know if y'all getting it or not, but I'm going to keep working till you do. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Catch it. I need you to get it. I need you to catch what I'm saying to you this morning. It said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, here's what it said. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Watch this. And he brought it to Adam. Hear it now. To see what he would call it.
That's the word.
Okay, let me, before I go there. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that's what its name was.
All right.
When you wake up in the morning and you call it, you know why you ain't got no peace? You can say, I ain't got no peace. This day is just all messed up. Guess what you're doing? You're calling it. So when something happened, you say, well, hold on, now this happened. Now here, I bet you something else. You're speaking, you don't even really understand that you're calling your day into existence by because we're made in the image of God and according to his likeness.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, whatever I say, it's what the Father said. So I know if I say this got to happen.
That's right.
When you gonna start decreeing a thing?
Amen.
Sure. Tell somebody name it.
Name.
Watch this. Tell yourself name it.
Name.
Watch this. Catch this. When you name something, it becomes personal.
Yeah.
Right.
When you name something, it becomes personal. What you say, that's mine. When you name it, good God. What is this? Why? Because names have meaning. Okay. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and 21, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because the definition of the name follows it.
That's right.
Can I just say what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
And y'all be all right with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the right place to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I know we're in the house about to save them. But you know why they call alcoholics. The definition follows it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. I gave you this illustration one time. You know how they call firemen? Because they fight fires.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
Come on now. Shoot, man. Oh, God. You got to quit calling stuff into existence.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You got to quit telling your children you ain't going to never be good. You just bad. Guess what you just did? Brought it out. Because the definition has to follow it. Now we have to punish them for something that we spoke over them. You won't even receive it. If you get in here, you show out. Wherever you show out, that's what... Listen, my parents didn't have to do that when I was young.
Come on, man.
They ain't in the choir stand. We was sitting down. They just had to look. You knew right then. Listen, going where? Chewing what? Doing what?
Hallelujah.
Jesus named Peter Simon. Peter. That's what he called him. The definition followed. He said, now, Peter, because I've changed your name, and I understand when I give something a name, the name of the name follows. He said, now, upon this, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Watch this. That was the revelation. Watch this. But here's what happened to Peter. Catch this. Because he changed his name. Glory be to God. Watch this. Watch this. This is what happened to Peter. Peter then had a name to live up to. Hallelujah. And he became the man that fulfilled the name. Okay. In other words, his life calling was in his name. Oh God. Say, name your day. Now I'm talking about seeds in the moment. If you don't take responsibility, and you don't start naming your day, hallelujah, you won't be able to walk in the next one. Watch this. Watch this. The next one. The next one. You got to make your words count.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to validate it. Hallelujah. You cannot seize the moment until you seize your words. Hallelujah. oh, God. We all know the power of words. Words can encourage as well as discourage. Words can empower. Right? Words can cause separation. We used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. Boy, that was the farthest thing from the truth. Because there are some things you can say that you can't take back, because once you release them, they're out there. Have you ever had to apologize for what you said? You know what you say? I didn't mean to say that. Because you understand that that hurt. So, Lord, I didn't mean to say it. Then you would say stuff like, you know what I mean, don't you? No, I know what you said. Biggest challenge in life will be controlling your words. Yeah. Why is that important? Because there's power in your words, so you got to be careful what you say. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21, that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Do we really believe it though? You see what I'm saying though? Do we really understand it? And do we really believe it? Right? And whoever, the Bible says, whoever loveth and indulge in it will eat the fruit thereof and bear the consequences of their word. Here's what the Bible says in James chapter 1. Therefore, you gotta be swift to hear and slow to speak. Why? Because your words matter.
Yeah, right.
You got to give thought to what you're about to say.
Because
the next thing out of your mouth could change the whole atmosphere. God.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo! Come on with it.
All right.
Praise God.
Here's what they said. They were on the boat. Jesus was asleep. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to perish?
Pray, pray.
Yeah, pray in a minute.
A lot of people think God don't care because of what they're going through. Because it looked like God is inactive. Right? But here's the problem with the text. He gave them the word before they left. They quit operating in the word when they started going through difficult moments. And to validate it, he stayed with them and didn't say nothing. Sometimes you can have the word of God with you and you don't need to say nothing because you got it with you. Sometimes your silence speaks louder than what you have to say. Hallelujah. How do you make your words count? I'm glad you asked.
Amen.
You have to have a corresponding action. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Whenever you give a word, your action got to validate the word that you just spoke.
Come on, wait.
In the beginning was the word. The Word was with God. Everything that was made by him. Without him was not anything made. The Word was with God. God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that I'm going to send forth my son. You're going to bruise his heel. He's going to crush your head. That was the word that was spoken. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, hallelujah, amen, that the word manifested itself. Why? Because God had spoken, so now he had to have a corresponding action to validate what he had spoke. And a lot of times we say the right thing, but we do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I need y'all to hear what I'm trying to tell you. Hallelujah. Okay, let me do it this way. Okay, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So there has to come a point where the word got to transcend into action.
That's right.
Okay. The Bible says it this way. The four men brought their friend to Jesus. They tore back the roof, and the scripture says when Jesus saw their faith. The woman with the issue of blood said to herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She spoke the word, but her action. I need you to get it. I know God is a good God, but your action.
You missed it.
I don't think you got it. I know God will make a way, but your action. Oh, God, help me. I know he woke you up this morning, but your action. Oh, shoot now. I know he paid my bill, but your action. I know he brought me from a mighty long way, but what is your action? Are you just saying it because we in church?
Watch this.
My actions bring to pass what my words have declared. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Good God Almighty. I'm about to go, so I got one more and I'm out. I'm just telling you, I do. I got one more and I'm out. So you got to take responsibility. Right? You got to make your day count. You got to name your day. And then you got to understand the power that's in your words. Let me show you something real quick. Anybody here got a dollar bill? Just $1 bill. You do? Can you bring it to me? What is it? What y'all laughing for? What y'all see? That's what we're supposed to do, right? Dad, we see him walking away, look like he's going to bless somebody else. Dad! Catch. I need you to catch. I'm a demonstration preacher. I just demonstrated to you how your words have action. Did you see how easy that was? If you'll just do what he said. In fact, come here. That's just for you. Watch this. Go ahead with it. That's just for you. Listen. Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. God don't want something from you. God want to get something to you. But until we learn how to respond to the word of God with our actions, when the man say give, you got to give. Why? Because God. We worried about what we're giving up. You better be true. The Bible saying it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When you give what you got, God releases what you got. Glory be to God. I got one more part. I'm getting out of here. Listen. Last point. I'm closing with a story out of the Bible about David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm really through. I really am. Turn my iPad off. I'm really through. I want to close with this story because it's important for you to get it. David and the men had went out. They had been fighting. They had went out. They returned back to Ziklag. When they got back, they found out. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, read it for yourself. They came back. They found out. I'm going to give you the Robinson version. They came back. They found everything was gone. The houses were burned down. The children were gone. The wives were gone. And everything was listed. The Amalekites had came in and took everything. And here's what the scripture said. The Bible said they cried until they could not cry anymore. Did you hear what I said? Some of you have cried and there are no more tears to cry. Weeping, it was all right until that boy wrote Psalms 30 verse 5. But weeping may endure for a night. Your weeping will keep you comfortable for a while. But there comes a time when Moses is dead and it's time to move on. You've been crying long enough. Glory be to my God. Hallelujah. The Bible said they cried till they couldn't cry no more, Pastor Sutton. And this is what happened. And the people got mad at David because David was the one that was in charge, that they had lost everything. And David, being the man of God that he was, they thought about stoning him. Hallelujah. I've been pastoring now for a long time. I've been in ministry for a while now. And I can tell you that sometimes the church want to stone you. Walk on this side. I see you pick up them rocks. They want to stone you. Xavier, forbid the person you are. I'm going to just throw this in for free to release somebody. Ye without sin. They all set somebody free right there. You better put them rocks down. Because whatever measure you use. They went before God. They said, God, they about to kill me. What should I do? The Bible said he went to the priest. And the priest told him, get the ephod. He put the ephod on the ephod. The ephod has 12 stones in it. There was a stone that represented every tribe. So, hallelujah. So David then stood in the gap for those, hallelujah, that wanted to persecute him. You know that you're taking responsibility for when you stand in the gap for people that want to kill you. That's why when Jesus on the cross, he could say, Father, good God Almighty from Zion, hallelujah, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. When you start taking responsibility, hallelujah. When you understand you got a mantle on your life, hallelujah, you got to take responsibility for folk that's connected to you that don't understand you. Glory be to my God. And the Bible said that David prayed before the Lord and he said, God, what shall I do? Hallelujah. And I'm so glad you asked. God told David, he said, David, hallelujah, I need you to seize the moment, hallelujah. No more procrastination, no more crying. I need you to seize the moment. And so David said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord told David, I want you to pursue, hallelujah, overtake and recover all. I came to tell somebody this morning at Divine Purpose Church that it's time for you to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Because I came to let you know this morning that if God be for you, who can be against you? It's time to get your victory back. It's time to get your joy You gotta seize the moment. You gotta seize the moment. You gotta seize the moment. Look at your neighbor and give your neighbor a virtual high five. And tell them seize the moment. Tell them seize the moment. Tell them seize the moment. Tell them give me my peace back. Give me my joy back. Hallelujah. I got some folk in here that are not following the word. Your action will dictate what you believe. And blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside. The Bible says that he heard Jesus was walking by. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus, he seized the moment. He said, Jesus. Folks said, be quiet. Don't worry the master. But he understood that I can't miss my moment. He said, Jesus. They said, don't worry the master. Be quiet. But I came for somebody that's in a predicament. And you don't know how you're going to get out. And you see that the Lord is waiting on you. I heard Jeremiah say that if I call, he would answer. And if you call on him in the morning, he'll answer. If you call on him in the noonday, he'll answer. If you call him, he will answer. It's time to seize the moment. Don't wait the next year. This is the day that the Lord has made. They call it today because it's a present, because yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. The Bible says don't put off today for tomorrow, for in tomorrow is sufficient. It's enough trouble already waiting on you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But you got to seize the moment right now. And I promise you this, that if you'll lift up your heads, oh, you gaze unto the Lord. The Bible said, the King of glory shall come in. He said, King, why you counting this down? If you'll just do good, he said, I'll receive you. He said, but if not, the enemy lies at your door. A lot of you got an enemy knocking at your door, waiting on you to give up. But if you seize the moment, you can make him out of the liar that he already is. Come on, bless the Lord in this place. Walk away and forget what manner of man that he is. Listen, don't leave this place, hallelujah, and not remember who you are. You are the one. You are the change agent. You are the one. You're the difference maker. You just got to seize the moment. Pastor Sutton, I'm through. Hallelujah. All right. Well, listen. I need you to hear me. If you don't hear nothing else, I said it. I need you to hear me. There's somebody here that needs to give their life to Christ. There's no other way around it. And I mean, your moment is now. You're seizing salvation that has already been given to you through Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. Don't think you got to get something else together because you can't. That's the trick of the enemy. You got to come just as you are. Listen, God already know about it. And the good thing about it, God already done something about it. Through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of loves them. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, and for those of you that are outside, you in your car, we got someone that we can send to you. Amen. And gather the information and bring it back to the ministry staff here and to where they'll pray with you. They'll lead you in the right way that you need to go. But I need you to hear me this morning. People are settling for gathering in church instead of becoming the church. Just because. I know that's true. Because not everyone that was around Jesus got healed. And people think just because it's good. I'm not belittling anybody that's here. I understand. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is, why be here and not tap into him and then leave, not knowing him? I'm up here because I made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Not because I got it together. I still got some shortcomings. But God already know about it. But I get to speak to you because I got the blood on me. Not because I'm perfect. Listen, you ain't gonna be perfect. Quit worrying about that. Free yourself from that. Quit trying to wait till you get it together and stop doing this and stop doing that. And when I do this, then I'm gonna be ready. No, you're ready right now. I promise you, if you'll confess that you are, God will receive you just as you are. Listen, these men are ready to open arms. They're waiting on you to come like the Father did in Luke 15. He's waiting on his son to come home, his daughter to come home. Would you come this morning if that's you to say, you know what, preacher? I don't know if I'm saved, truthfully, but I do know I want to be. If that's you, would you come? We just want to pray with you. God, do all the work.
That's right.
We can't save nobody. We just introduce you to the one that can. Come see a man. Is there one? Preach, y'all ready to give it up?
Hallelujah!
Your actions got to follow. It's trying to take.
Brother said he lost his mama, and he's having a hard time coping with it. You're not alone, brother. I want you to know that there's many that have lost loved ones, and it's a hard task. But what we want to do today, we have a team of ministers. I'm going to ask all my ministers if you will come and circle around this young man. I want us to pray. I want us to pray that God will strengthen you. That God will give you the strength that you need. Because nothing happens without God's consent. Amen. Let us know. Father in heaven, we come with all his now. Holy Spirit, you know this young man's pain. You know what he's going